Could Fiat Chrysler soon shift its center of gravity away from Italy? From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Global Perspective on Business and Economics. Right now, the big place to buy stock in Fiat Chrysler is in Milan, Italy. But Bloomberg News is reporting that Fiat's boss is about to ask his board to move its primary stock business to the New York Stock Exchange. The BBC's Caroline Hepker covers Fiat. Caroline, good morning.
Good morning.
What do you think? Is this about access to more capital for Fiat?
Yes, certainly. That is what it's about. But that's really only part of the story. Of course, the New York Stock Exchange gives Fiat and Chrysler access to investors, particularly institutional investors, and that is hugely important. But this story is really about Fiat and Chrysler becoming a global player. They're still only selling about half the amount of vehicles that other big companies like General Motors and Toyota are doing. And so really now it's all about pushing forward with this new revitalized company.
It's interesting, though. Fiat is already, certainly on the global stage, they sell an enormous number of cars in Brazil. They've got a lot of brands, Alfa, Lancia, Maserati, big stake in Ferrari. But you're saying there's another order of magnitude that that company might be able to achieve.
Yes, definitely. The U.S. is still a major car market in the world. So is China. And I think for the boss of Fiat and Chrysler, Sergio Marchionne, it's about really having the whole company under his helm and being able to take it forward. So at the moment, Chrysler is still only the third largest player in the U.S. And combined, Mr. Marchionne thinks that they could be seventh in the world. So, you know, there are still a lot of competitors out there, still some room to grow and move forward.
The BBC's Caroline Hepker, thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Fiat Chrysler is also considering moving its official domicile to Britain for tax purposes. American Airlines and U.S. Airways are taking another step toward merging into a single airline. Each started selling tickets on certain flights operated by the other carrier for travel starting today. It's a practice called code sharing, which makes your partner's flights look like your own. Kate Davidson reports it's an early step after a very long corporate engagement.
Airline consultant Jay Sorensen says merging ownership was just the beginning of the engagement.
And at some point down the road, the engagement will come to an end and there will be the actual marriage.
But there's a lot to do before the two airlines become one, like code sharing. Sorensen says that should boost revenue by increasing sales of connecting flights. People don't like changing airlines mid-trip.
Whereas a connection on the same airline is one step below a nonstop flight.
Continental and United waited till they were hitched to roll out certain benefits. But analyst Henry Hardeveldt likes that American and U.S. Airways are breaking the process into manageable pieces.
Like letting us use one another's lounges, then a little bit of code sharing on certain flights between hubs, then start selling flights on one another's websites.
Soon you're standardizing meals, and we all know what that means. In the end, the new airline will take American's name. All flights will be coded AA. I'm Kate Davidson for Marketplace.
Over the last few days, people in southwestern Mexico took matters into their own hands and temporarily, at least, pushed out members of a powerful drug cartel from their community. It is a fluid situation involving what is a kind of vigilante movement in the Mexican state of Michoacán. Tracking some of the economic implications here is Univision anchorman Leon Krause, who, since we last spoke, has also become host of Open Source on the new Fusion TV network. Leon, great to hear your voice.
Always a pleasure, David.
So these vigilante groups, the cartels, and the Mexican security forces, they're now part of this mix.
That's exactly right, because Michoacán is the ideal state for narco-trafficking. It has one of Mexico's main ports, distribution routes. It's a booming agricultural business, so it's hotly contested, and it sadly makes sense.
Yeah, that there's some sort of twisted logic to the whole thing, some economic sense in a weird way. Now, tell me about the economic context within which this is playing out. You said there are significant agricultural interests in this region.
Absolutely. Let me give you one example. Michoacán is the world's number one producer of avocados. We are talking around 1.1 million tons of the stuff every year. It really is a tragedy, especially because after NAFTA, Michoacán's avocado producers became real first world competitors. It was a great success story. It still is, but it's being threatened by this violence.
Not just avocados. They do some mining in the area. There's iron ore production.
There is. There is a great tradition of mining, great lemon producers. So it's a tragedy on many fronts for Michoacán, and the economy, mining, agriculture is being severely affected, and it could even affect the United States with this, the importance of avocados as a product here, no?
No, that makes sense. Now, where do we stand as we're talking? To some extent, this sounds like it's a fluid situation.
It is a fluid situation, and it's a very dangerous one. It's basically a micro-civil war going on in Michoacán. The cartels have become sort of a parallel state within the state, and that's just intolerable for any government. And this isn't happening all over Mexico. Violence is still focalized, but where there is violence, there really is violence, David.
Mm. Univision's Leon Krause is also host of Fusion TV's show Open Source. Leon, thank you.
My pleasure, David.
And if you are what you make in Hollywood, what is Jonah Hill? The actor was on Howard Stern yesterday and claims for his nice role in The Wolf of Wall Street, he only made $60,000. Now, aware that acting isn't ditch digging, but that must be close to the Screen Actors Guild minimum. Stern was smart enough to follow up by asking Hill if he's getting a piece of the back end of the movie. Nope, Hill says. It was about getting the chance to work with director Martin Scorsese. They also let him eat from Kraft Services table, I would guess. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.